This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
One more case to get to before we wrap up today, and that would be the trial of Lindsey Clancy. It is still going on, second week, wrapping up and coming to a close. It's changed the shape of the case. Clancy spoke in open court for the first time, signed away the state's burden on the forensics basis, and those basics, which have already been pretty much agreed to, that yes, she killed the children. We don't need to reiterate this 50 ways to Tuesday. And her lawyer confirmed what's been true from the start. She doesn't dispute that she killed Cora Dawson and Callan. The only question this jury's deciding is whether her mind was her own that night. Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us to break this down. It's been interesting watching the arguments here. On August 4th, Reddington stipulated to the forensics, the blood, the DNA, the exercise band, told the court it spares the jury dozens of witnesses. Look at what actually landed here. The jury loses now days of sitting with the physical horror of what happened in that basement. That's meaningful. That's powerful stuff if you're trying to put Lindsey Clancy behind bars, but it also, nobody's arguing it either, but the prosecution also just got a bit shorter as well. Cleaner sprint to the end of this. Who does this help? Does it help Lindsey Clancy? Does it help the prosecution not continue to hammer this over and over, something she's already admitted doing? I guess it all depends where the minds of the jurors are at, but what do you think?
Oh, it helps Lindsey Clancy. It's a terrible stipulation for them. I mean, not for them, for the prosecution. And this is why. You want those jurors to understand exactly what happened to those children. That one actually held on afterwards to life. I've tried to explain. It's pretty easy to make somebody lose unconsciousness with a stranglehold. It is very difficult to actually murder them. In other words, to have the oxygen be depleted from their brain for long enough that they actually die. This is not a quick process. It's not a few seconds. This is a long process. And I was really disappointed. I knew that there'd be no cross or anything, but the ME, you know, was great and to the point and believable, but there should have been more details. I know they at least get the autopsy photos, but it's such a win for the defense not to have those jurors really understand the breadth of this murderous act committed by Lindsey Clancy.
Didn't the exercise bands do most of the work for Lindsey, though? I mean, I'm not trying to be cold and callous here, just arguing the points of the case of, you know, yes, exactly what you said. It would take a lot of work. I've never done that, never put my hands around someone's neck. But I'll take your word for it that it's not an easy thing to do. She didn't do it. The exercise band, she put them around them, and then the exercise bands pretty much went to town and finished the job. So they wouldn't necessarily be sitting there going, and then she took her cold, dead hands and squeezed their. I mean, that wouldn't be the argument. It's exercise bands, she's out the window. So I don't know. I mean, I also do wonder, is there a level of churn, if you will, that's going on with this jury? Not that you can churn the jurors out, but just burnout. Maybe burnout's the right word. Burnout with the jurors of hearing about what happened and the state hammering it over and over when we already know what happened. She's already admitted to doing it. She's sitting there crying and sobbing in court every day through all of this. I don't know. If I'm a juror and I'm sitting there, I'd be like, what are we doing? This is already established.
It's established in a very scholastic way, not in an emotional way, not in something that I think you can really picture. And I know what you're saying about the bands. I say instead of a wedding next year, we do a self-defense class for the team.
Hey.
And I show you all that even with a ligature, a band, a belt, a rope, whatever you have, there's still a lot of work to be done. And we saw it.
Yeah.
I think it was Callan lived through it. Not Dawson. I pretty much think it was Callan, if I recall right from the testimony, that lived through it. Because as hard as she tried and as tight as those bands were, It didn't work. And that poor kid had to suffer, you know, long after. So I guess my point is that, you know, it is what it is. That's what they decided. You're right. It might have meant jury fatigue. I'm just saying the defense had a huge coup with that and the prosecutor didn't.
I want to talk about the pills because they keep that was a big point this week that the prosecution thought it was making. I thought it kind of landed somewhat empty. If you understand how these things work, see, she was only on so many pills and they weren't to a toxic level. Nobody's arguing that she was like taking these things to a toxic level. The argument has always been the interactions of these pills being on and off these antipsychotics, these SSRIs, the various types of drugs that she was prescribed by the doctors. And there was no other things in there. She wasn't recreationally taking anything. We're not working. They were and they do work against each other. And it's not a one size fits all. If one person is taking this version of the cocktail and person B is taking this version of the cocktail, both can have extremely different psychiatric reactions to them. That's just fact. But it feels like Massachusetts is saying one size fits all. Because she didn't take him to a toxic level, she couldn't possibly have been in a frame of psychosis. On top of that, we're not even arguing that the pills necessarily were the cause of the psychosis. She already had that underlying condition. The pills were supposed to try and help get her out of that. So take the pills out of the equation. I don't care if she took one pill or none. She was in the state mentally through her own biology that would have put her into that sort of state. So how powerful are these pill arguments that the state is making with the jury?
Well, I think that they're just trying to get that off of the table as far as the jurors considering that that really constituted why she did this. And I thought they hit some home. In other words, when you show the pill, you and I had talked about this actually, mm-hmm. You can be prescribed drugs all day long. The question is, are you taking them? Look at all these people who go to get help and then they get it and then it sits there and they don't take them, right? And they tried to show all that, but it was definitely in her system to some degree.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to say this. It was put out there, oh my gosh, 13 medications. She was on all these drugs. And then you kind of looked at, well, wait a minute. She wasn't really taking all of it. She was taking some of it. And so I think they diluted the point.
Which if, and what I'm even more horrified is not that she wasn't taking 13 medications. It's the fact that she was prescribed 13 medications that are very powerful drugs, mental psychiatric drugs that can very, very much do horrible things to your brain or totally mess you up in that short of a period of time. Not that taking them all together is the answer. It's that getting on them, getting off them, getting on them, getting off them, taking some of this, taking a little bit more of that, taking a little less of this one. And that balance, that certainly can lead to psychosis. That's how that happens. That's the recipe for that sort of thing to take place. That's why it is so important that these things are managed correctly and effectively and not just quick little 17-minute visits. Gee, you feeling nifty today or you not? It's horrifying how some of these things are managed. And it's not just Lindsey Clanton. This is how it works throughout. I've been in many a doctor's offices for the med checks, and it's like, in and out. It's a cattle call. And they're only as good as you are communicating with your doctor. I will definitely give it that. But at the same point, you're also asking someone who many doctors have said suffering from bipolar, suffering from psychosis. Those aren't going to be the most reputable individuals, unfortunately, to give a accurate statement about their mental health to the doctor that's trying to help them. So naturally, they're already at a disadvantage because of their own biological makeup and what they're trying to communicate to the doctor that's trying to help them. It's a shit show. Any way you look at it. But it feels like the state's trying to ask people not to understand how these sort of things work or by omission, not help them understand how things work. It's feeling more like a carny trick than it is a prosecution.
Well, I want to say this. First of all, there's a lot of blame to go around in this deal.
Yeah.
I still blame the husband. I blame the medical people. But number one, I blame Lindsay Clancy. She's a medical professional. This wasn't her first rodeo. Understanding meds. She gets it. She clearly knew she was having issues. He knew she was having issues. I mean, that testimony where, yeah, she said she wanted to kill her kids. I mean, let's just start with that. Maybe that's at the point that you say, kids, we're going to stay at grandma's for a while. Sure. We need to get mommy healthy, and mommy needs to check herself into an outpatient. At what point?
She didn't. She got kicked out.
Well, longer. She needs to go back in. She needs to do whatever. I cannot exonerate her from culpability if at the moment she is strangling her kids, one after another, if she knows right from wrong. That's the only legal point we need. All this other crap is crap in my mind. Is she on medication? How much was it? Blah, blah, was she feeling bad? Was she depressed? Okay, forget it. What did she know at the time? And I would contend, and no matter which one you believe, whether it's the prosecution, she lowered herself down, or the defense, she full on meant to kill herself. By the way, she cut herself the wrong way, and she's a nurse, so I'm not buying that. But I do believe she meant to throw herself out and just maybe die or hurt herself in this way. But it's because she knew what she did was wrong. Either she wanted to die and not have to face justice like all these other. I mean, what if we were talking about a guy here? Look at these guys that kill Travis Decker, that suffocate their little girls and leave them in the woods. He was suffering from a PTSD, military guy. He offed his kids. Nobody cares about him. Nobody feels sorry for him.
But you also see a lot of pre-planning in a lot of these sort of things. You also see motivation in a lot of these sort of cases. And I admit, there's plenty of cases where people argue the insanity defense, and they're not. They were just shitty human beings who are pre-planning their getaway, their new life, and getting rid of the obstacles, the people in it, as they viewed them to get there. There's zero of that here. All there is evidence of her being a loving mother, asking for help, getting help, trying to get help on this med, off that med. I can't think of a case where I've seen someone be more vocal and more opportunistic at trying to beg for help than this case. There's been so many where they got the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the new life plan or there's evidence of there's another side here they're trying to get to. Her side she was trying to get to was sanity, and she didn't get there. I don't see any. I mean, if strangling your children with exercise bands when you have nothing but a track record of being an attentive, loving, caring parent through all of their existence up until that point and begging for help, I don't know what the definition of psychosis is, if that's not it. I mean, that is psychosis.
There's a little bit of testimony that came in, like the grandfather is an example.
Yeah.
That I see a lot of frustration with her. And
sure.
That's what you see, right? Like grabbing the kids, Dawson's out of control, Dawson's being difficult. He even describes, he's like, well, he's pretty difficult. I mean, he's a good kid, right? The grandfather was so guarded at his truth, but he kept letting it slip out, even with her. Oh, she was really nice, even though she lost it. It's so interesting to watch his testimony, because I think the truth with him is she was on the edge, and I don't think she gently grabbed those arms. I think she was pissed and pulled. I think there are so many things that went on behind closed doors with somewhat violent toward those kids and just being on the edge.
But there's no evidence of that. There's nobody that's testified to any of that.
There's that piece of evidence.
That's like it's minor frustration with having three children under the age of five. Show me one mother who with three children under the age of five who isn't having shitty days some days, isn't frustrated to the moon about that. I mean, that's life. And there's certainly horrible ones that act out and do horrible, horrible things towards their children for those minor frustrations. The path that I see when they're talking about that doesn't really deviate from 99% of mothers or parents out there with that many children under their care at those sort of ages. It's frustrating. It's hard. It's difficult. It's exhausting. You're tired. And then if you have other underlying medical conditions going on, that makes it even worse. I just don't see anything outside of the norm when we're talking about that with her that would have been a red flag going, shit, she's probably going to go put exercise bands around.
Okay, you ready? Here's the 99% outside the norm. Bam. That is, she totally crossed the line. I've always said this, and you agree, I think, by her, you know, trying to go for help. She was losing it. She didn't like those kids. She was frustrated with them. She wanted to kill them. She said that. She told the husband that. So this wasn't something that just happened. This was something that, and she had one, and I know, okay, I called it postpartum. Everybody says, no, really, she was just physically, you know, whatever, cut from stem to stern, and it was difficult to get better and all of that. And then the second one was true postpartum, and then this one was postpartum that led to psychosis. At what point do you say, I'm not going to have any kids because I'm a medical professional and I know I'm going crazy. And so
I agree, but that still doesn't show that she was in her right mind.
Then why did she jump?
Because she was in a psychotic state.
No, because I would argue it was because of her self-preservation, whether you want to take the state side that she wanted to sort of commit suicide so people would feel sorry for her right now, like people are doing in a courtroom, or she really wanted to kill herself so she wouldn't have to face the ramifications of being sentenced to a prison sentence. So either way, I see somebody, this is called consciousness of guilt. People who are nuts. Remember the guy that killed all his kids, these little boys, and then he sat on the front stoop?
Yeah.
And he called and he said, I just killed all my kids. That guy was crazy. And he, you know, they found him nuts. Those people don't think they did anything. Well, they know they're not able to control themselves. And mm-hmm. they have an argument. This one showed consciousness of guilt. This one showed planning by doing it when he was gone. I think she knew right from wrong at that moment. That's what I think. And I know it's so unpopular, but I really do think that.
But is the best place for someone like this who's in this sort of mental state at the end of the day? I know we disagree on this, but even with the disagreement on that, is the right place for her a prison? Mm-hmm. Or is the right place for her a mental hospital for the rest of her existence, which is pretty much what she wants?
I wouldn't give her what she wants. I think she needs psychiatric care within a prison.
They don't offer that, though, the way that it's kind of needed. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's not like she's, you know, it would be psychiatric care in a confined setting. It's not like she can just, you know, check out on a Tuesday.
I mean, you know, an interesting parallel case, right, is Yates.
Yeah.
That drowned her five children in Houston.
Yeah.
And she still is in a mental institution, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want out.
Yeah.
Your point. Every year they offer her the opportunity to take a competency test to see if she can be released. And every year she denies it. I just read her last denial of it in January of this year. She doesn't want out. But I'm just saying, do you get any punishment for wiping out three young lives? Is that punishable?
I don't know that there is a punishment that is in existence that would punish it adequately other than death, if someone did it intentionally. I think the punishment is still being alive, quite honestly. I would be, if I were a betting person, I said this earlier today, I would venture to guess that Lindsay Clancy's probably not going to be around within 5 years. I don't know how she doesn't self-exit herself off this mortal coil at some point, living with it, living with what the realization of what took place, whether or not she was conscious or understanding what she was doing, but knowing this is the reality, there's no coming back from this. And she knows it. Everyone knows it. I think she probably wants to die to this day. I think her attorney even said that. I don't know. This case has really gotten me on not. It just seems it hasn't done anything to help people better understand postpartum or women's mental health. And I know they say it's not about that. It's 1,000% about that. It feels like it's Massachusetts. It's a witch trial and they want to burn the witch because we're going to pretend that mental health isn't a thing. But I don't know. I'm glad we disagreed. We got a little spicy, Jen, and a little show and tell there today with some props, which is always exciting.
Sorry.
And your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you guys to weigh in and give us your thoughts in the comment section right there. That's going to wrap it up. Until next time, for Jen, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.